Are you not high enough? Yeah. Happy fucking happy hour. It's fucking Beth Lapidus, comedy legend of LA's Uncabaret. Welcome to Unsteph.
Thank you, Unsteph. I'm so happy to be here.
I can't believe it took us this long. Right, Vanessa?
Yeah.
Suzanne Westenhofer says today. I was like, Beth Lapidus!
Oh, I love
we
her.
We have had all of your people that you have done Uncabaret for 25 years here. Margaret Cho, all, you know.
Yeah.
And you are a legend in your own time. Okay, let's talk
Let's talk about it.
All right.
All right.
You know what? I haven't seen her in so long because I started. I did on Cabaret.
You did. We did that.
Once.
There was an ACLU. We did the benefit for the ACLU that was like, I can't remember what network it was from. It was like Freedom Files.
Yes.
But I
did on Cabaret once and had a blast. That. But that's nice. Back before morning radio when I was. It starts at 8 o'clock at night, Vanessa.
Yeah. It just starts then.
Oh, wow.
And you start at?
Yes, I get up at the crack of ass.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So I remember I did it once and I just had the greatest.
Yeah, we loved you.
I think I made out with you just as a
joke. I think we did.
I did. I mean, it was sort of a joke. But
sort of a joke.
Well, not for me.
If making out is ever a joke.
I was just very, very happy to be at Uncabaret.
I was very happy to have you. And I'm happy to be here.
In your lair. I remember how long ago it was because I remember Rick Overton was in the audience, my buddy. And I was, I think I did a bit about Catherine Harris, like, you know, trying to fuck Sean Hannity on camera. And that's how long ago that was. That was like in 2000.
Wow.
What? That was the,
what? Remember in 2000
she was the,
what?
She was the like Florida recount lady.
In 2000
Catherine Harris.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't
2000.
Know. What, and
2000.
What?
2000.
And zero.
And zero.
2000 and zero.
So, okay, for people that do not know, Beth Lapidus founded Uncabaret here in Los Angeles, where you basically founded the you know, alternative comedy movement here. And I think people don't know. They're just,
see
people later. They don't realize how many people started at Uncabaret and worked out all their shit there. And, Julia Sweeney, I remember, oh my God. And
Julia Sweeney did all that material that turned into the Broadway shows, God Said Ha, and and then the other God show.
What if
there is no God? First God Said Nah.
She's a God-centered comedy space, people.
She's back now. You know, she left Los Angeles to go raise a child, and she's starting to come back once a season. We
Julia?
Had her a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. She's fantastic.
Yeah, so we had Julia, Kathy
who knew
Griffin.
That,
you want to just name?
Who knew that
through?
You could make cancer that funny? But
only Julia, you know? Right. That was the greatest. That was the greatest story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking about, you know, the recent person, Tig Notaro.
Tig?
She's
on the Amazon specials. The Amazon specials have a great group of people.
Right. Mm-hmm. But Tig Notaro, I mean, famously, that's the whole spirit of what you do. It's just this unvarnished truth. I love they go, Uncabaret isn't for everybody, because if you're used to the comedy club, like jokey, you know, she's like, oh, hi, I just got cancer. Have a good night, everybody.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming out.
Well, you know,
I just found out I have cancer. Like, it's really...
Well, you know what it is? It's like the difference is if you want to hear story. I mean, I've tried to sort of explain it this way, story-based stand-up, because it's not a storytelling show, and it's not stand-up as you know it, necessarily.
Right.
But it's, so I say it's story-based stand-up.
Right. Yeah. But it's...
Right?
Right, yes.
Yeah.
But
it's... So revealing in the now, in the day.
Right.
In the moment.
Right.
In the truth of whatever your biggest truth is, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't you feel like that's a lot what's going on now with Trump being president? Because it's just such a fucking shit show every day. That it's hard to do happy clappy jokes. We're all just like... What kind of fucking wine pairs with this dystopian nightmare we're fucking in? Like, it's just, I mean.
Well, you know what it is? It's like we're working through this really uncomfortable time.
Yeah.
And we're having to deal with it and everything that we were dealing with beforehand. Everything you have to deal with anyway. You know?
All your life shit. All your life shit.
The
on
life
top of this
and
motherfucker.
Death and love and, you know, survival and jobs and all this stuff.
That's
is
right.
still happening. And yet you also have this other fog layer that's rolled in. It's like a fog has rolled in and you still have to navigate your car to the route.
Like, I can barely see my bullshit in my life through his bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's what, and that's what it is. And, you know, typically in a show, it's interesting. There'll be some amount of the show that addresses whatever the, you know, whether it's Harvey Weinstein, which is all part of the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is, there's some part of every show that's really directly about it.
Yeah.
And then there's other parts of the show where people are just winding around it.
Yeah.
You know?
Did I, now, technically in this climate in Hollywood today, Beth, would you, are you planning on filing a sexual harassment suit against me for the forced kiss? I believe that, like, you.
I think it was mutual. I think we were.
Okay.
I think we were on.
Because I think I was thanking you. I was coming off stage.
Yeah.
And I just decided to do a staged girl-on-girl kiss.
Yeah.
And, technically, that's
technically,
probably.
Technically, I could. On tape. You know, me too. Hashtag.
Right. Yeah. Whatever. Hashtag me too.
Hashtag me too. Maybe we could make some waves.
All right.
All right.
Oh my God. You know what we should do? We'll accuse each other.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Well, no, she won. No, she
no,
wanted
she
it.
Did.
No,
no,
she won.
No,
she started to shoot. No, it was her idea. Her.
I see it now. Variety. Cute comic.
Girl fight.
Her on her.
Hot girl on girl fight.
Hashtag her on
Beth
her.
Beth Lapidus, Stephanie Miller.
Page six.
No. She didn't wear that goddamn tight dress for nothing.
Look at you. Look at you with your pretty face.
Look at you.
Look
with
at
your pretty
you.
Face
Look at
that.
You. Yeah. So it's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, you tweeted, the news is so loud right now, even with everything turned off, I can hear the jackhammer sound of it.
Oh.
It's true. Even when you tune out, you're like, no, 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 I know it's still happening. I can feel my news alerts.
Yeah, yeah. You can feel it all the time. Yeah. All the time. So, you know, but we can't, like, I'm really try to be diligent about, you know, the upping the meditation practice and, you know, we have to take care of ourselves because otherwise we are being crushed by it, literally crushed by it. And in some senses it happened because of, what happened, you know, we don't know really, but it's there is a sense of, I think, it happened because we had to go through that. I mean, I do have sense of like this was what had to happen.
Because otherwise you feel like we went through some awful wormhole in the universe where we're just not supposed to be here.
We're having to look at everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think this whole Harvey Weinstein thing, not to bring that up twice in so many minutes, but I mean, there's a sense that that wouldn't have happened were we in a different situation.
True.
And this is
misogyny is not in that kind of sexism. We've been talking about that. It's not partisan. I mean, Harvey Weinstein's a pig.
Exactly.
Donald Trump's a pig.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think that there is something, and I feel like there was a huge amount of misogyny that affected Hillary Clinton.
Absolutely.
So I mean,
that affects all. I mean, the amount. I mean, to actually start to realize there were so many little things that I just went like this to. You know, I was not raped by the head of a studio ever. It doesn't matter. If you're a woman, you're going like this all the time. Mm-hmm.
I don't because I'm in my basement.
That's helpful.
No, I don't mean just even in show business, just when you're a young woman walking through the world.
No, I feel like some of my male friends that went to Catholic school with me, they're like, I feel so rejected. How come he never touched me? Which is horrible. But my point is, I feel a little like I can't do the Me Too because I don't have a Me Too. I don't know why.
It doesn't matter.
I guess I'm just not
attractive. You're strong. You're just strong. You're beautiful. You're a beautiful, strong woman.
Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. Strong woman. And you know what? You stand strong for the rest of us.
Oh, boo-boo. You too.
You too.
Well, listen, you're such a revolutionary. And so, but I have to say, I have, you know, you brought up self-care. And people who listen to the show know that I've lost one friend to heroin from, and close people that are much closer to her than him than I said part of it was Trump. That you know, again, had all his own problems, had the struggle for a long time.
Right.
But the stress of having to talk about, and he was a writer as well.
Right.
And write about it.
Right.
Too much for some people that are too sensitive. But my point is, like, I feel like everybody that already has psychological stuff, that already has substance stuff, is really fucking struggling, man. I mean,
everybody is struggling. Everybody's scared. I mean, part of it has to do with facing a fear.
Right.
Facing a fear of the world being different than we want, than we thought it was going to be. That we want it to be, facing the fear that we are living in a place where there are two such opposing points of view that will never come together in peace. I mean, we don't understand peace at all. Like, right. We don't get it.
Right.
And I remember there was this, I was on doing a movie, and it was like a bring your own, you know, it was very low budget, but it was not William Morris, oddly, we were shooting there. Anyway, there was this girl, and at one point she said, I was already irritated because she was borrowing my costumes, so that's me being petty, but my own clothes. And she just said, I don't know, world peace would be such a bore. Would just be such a bore. And I just think, and I made fun of her for so long for it, and finally it occurred to me I was making fun of her because I didn't understand what world peace would be either. You know, what is that vision that we have? Right. What is this thing?
Where we feel like farther away than ever now.
Yeah.
Where, like, there's just this blatant fucking, like, racism and homophobia, and everybody thinks it's okay now because Donald Trump's an asshole, so I can be an asshole too.
So it's worse.
It's so, I don't have to be politically correct anymore.
He's saying what everybody feels.
He's just saying what everybody thinks. I'm like, really? Yeah. If everyone thinks that, then I'm going to fucking... Like, I'm gonna fucking.
But you know, the thing is, everybody doesn't think that we're living in two worlds. You know, we're living in one world where people are. I mean, okay, we're in LA, we're in the bubble. Okay, great. But all over America, all over the world, there are people who understand that how you think creates your life. How you think creates your action. Your action changes the world. This is a reality that's all over the earth. If you look for the, you know, if you look for the good,
right.
You know, if you get those emails, there's so much innovation happening. There's so much in green technology.
Well,
there's
saying today the resistance and the how many people are volunteering in America shows you, like, no. There's a lot of good people that feel like we do that go, Jesus Christ, we got to fill in the gap in fucking leadership in this country and help each other.
There are people who are just like, okay, we'll do it. And so the business is doing it. Right. So, you know, in a way, there's a huge... And that comes from people... being in their heads holding a vision and being able to say, you know, number one, you know, I'm creating a different reality and without being blind and ridiculous being in denial, you're not in denial to be able to say, you know, don't make things, you know, I'm like, what are the thoughts? I'm working on a book now that's like the 8 thoughts. Like, what are the thoughts that can actually change how you are going through your life? Hmm. Like, don't make it worse. There are so many times when you, in your own situation, in your own mind, make it worse yourself. Or maybe this is perfect. You know,
you're somebody that, it's interesting as you say that, like, you did it. You created your whole other world.
Thank you.
And with it, a whole... revolution, really, in the comedy business that maybe people around listening around the country don't understand or don't know about or don't know what they owe to you, because I just love the whole, you're over 25 years now, it's for on Cabaret, right?
You know, it's hard to put a date, so I say there was like we now would say there's a beta test, there's a soft launch.
Right.
So if you go back to the beginning, yes, more than 25 years, sure.
Right.
Yeah.
But as it's described, you know, it's been a place to hear unvarnished, rough-edged ideas being tried out, mostly for the first, possibly only time. Judd Apatow, Julia Sweeney, Sandra Bernhardt, Roseanne Barr, many others have obviously...
Bob Odenkirk, David Cross, Patton Oswalt.
Everyone's been at your
Rick
mic.
Rick Overton. Yeah. I mean, you know, just it's been amazing.
So people understand around the country. So you left the avant-garde, for comedy clubs. And then you said, I love getting laughs there. But the traditional comedy clubs had a downside. They seemed painfully retro even at the time. I was shocked that people were doing jokes about how men and women are different. And L.A. and New York are different. And dog and cat people are different.
I couldn't believe it. I really could not believe it.
So she created her own comedy club, one that operated without the old rules. And one of, you know, my beloveds, Margaret Cho. I mean, just so you understand, it's like, it's almost like a mindset you created that's not just it's a style. It's a place that those people went, I don't fit in that cookie cutter 80s comedy club.
There were a few flashpoints. And one, it just speaks to this, you know, misogynist thing. I was at the Comedy Store one night. And I was following Andrew Dice Clay. And I was just standing backstage.
Oh, shit.
Can you imagine?
Going, oh, shit.
And I was just, like, hating him, hating the audience for laughing at him, hating myself for hating the audience for hating him. And I don't do well with hate. Like, I do not. Some people are so fueled by rage and hate and hilarious with it.
Right.
I crumble. Right. I don't know how to cope with hate.
Right.
And so I would, you know, so I was like, less fun. I was just like, there's got to be a better way that for me, you know, there's got to be a way that I, and then the second thing that happened was I was at the women's building, which was, And I was doing a thing, and they were laughing so hard. And you know how you may have had this experience when people are laughing, and you're like, I wish it was as funny as you thought it was. Like, it's funny. Like, this is funny, but it's not quite, you know, it's not quite what you think it is. I was like, when was the last time you laughed? They were like, oh, we don't laugh. We're gay. Yeah. We're artists. We're lesbians. You know,
yeah.
If we go to the comedy clubs, they make fun of us. So I said,
well, no, that's how Sexy Liberal Tour started, because we said the same thing. We're like, a lot of the humor in comedy clubs are sexist, it's racist, it's homophobic.
Still, it's crazy. Yeah.
And we were like, we basically turned that on its head and said, we're making fun of the racists and sexists and homophobes and proving it's even funnier.
Yeah.
That you don't have to, you know.
Yeah, so, and this was the un. This was the un. The un wasn't right. A negative thing. It was just unhomophobic, unxenophobic, unmisogynist, uncabaret, yeah. In the moment for the audience. Yeah. The audience, you know, is such a big part of what is, you know that, and that's why it's great you have that show, and when you make a special show.
As we talk about it, I realize that I stole your idea. But listen, if you're going to wrap that into the sexual harassment suit,
that's fine.
Fine. But I know, I was reading the Tig Notaro line, I thought so sums up on Cabaret. She said, I know it seemed like a little weird to just right out of the gate start out with a punchline, but my mother died tragically. Thank you so much for coming out. You guys were great. But it's
great.
It's real life. Mm-hmm. I mean, in a way, that's what we do on the radio. You know, like I've been on the radio and my dogs died when I came out. I mean, it just, real life involves crying and laughing.
Yeah. And it makes the laughing so much richer to me that it makes the, because if you are exposing the audience to your real heart, you know, to your pain, to your anguish, and then laughing, and then it's like that ride. I mean, partly it's the roller coaster. It's like that ride is amazing.
Yeah.
Now, if you're just fine and then you're like laughing a little, that ride's not that exciting.
But it's also that people, if we could count how many times people call and say, you're keeping me sane. I'm like, that concerns me for someone so lightly tethered to my own self. But it is that thing that you're not in this alone. I mean, now, I don't know if you're drinking coffee. Did you ever drink or did you?
I did drink.
And you had a substance? I mean, what was your journey with that?
My journey with that was someone suggested I was drinking too much and maybe tricked me into going to a yoga.
I've heard that.
A yoga meeting.
And, see, now I hate yoga, so there's no way you could trick me with that.
And I love yoga. You know that. So, mm-hmm, I know. My journey was really...
You wrote My Other Car's a Yoga Mat.
I did. I wrote that column, and I live it, and I don't have enough time for yoga anymore, but that's just sad.
Well, it's
but
too slow.
My journey was just, let me try not drinking. I experimented.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
how'd
that go? It was amazing.
Well, you're lucky you started before the Trump administration.
Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. It would be...
Right? Because he's caused more day drinking than anything in our history.
I just didn't want to feel, you know, I'm somebody who I really would rather not feel those uncomfortable things. Like for me, one of the thoughts is, you know, I'm comfortable with being uncomfortable because I'm not. But, I try that thought. And I get more comfortable with it. And I also found that drinking was making my life a little small and I wanted to have a bigger life. And
stop looking at me like that. My life is small because I get up at 4 in the morning and I work in my basement.
You don't have a drinking problem.
Teeny tiny.
Or maybe you do. I can't say.
Who can say? What's your point?
My point, you asked me about my journey. Yes. My journey is, I'd say, expansion and feeling. That would be my journey. And that's a big plus. Those two things are big. But I enjoy.
But now, what when you say you made your life small, what do you mean?
You know, being in a room just with a glass, not on air. I think fear, you know, I think substance abuse often is covering over fears, and up and the more you can face your fears, the bigger your life gets.
Yeah,
that's it. Walking through fear.
Yeah. How long you been sober?
7 years. Wow. Over seven something.
Wow. Does it seem longer since Trump's been president?
Yeah, it seems like about a thousand. I mean, it's just impossible to even calculate what a Trump year is.
Right.
I mean, you know how dog
years. Like a dog year times 1,000.
Yeah, yeah. Because it feels like it's been forever.
So, because we talked about, we're going through our own shit. You tweeted the thing when you're divorced and it's your wedding anniversary. Hashtag modern love.
Oh, my gosh.
Hashtag
it's so funny that people really read your tweets, which feel like they're invisible. That's a very modern feeling. It's like, what is that? You walk around that day and you're like, there's some, I'm supposed, you want to like call the person and say like happy anniversary. It's not, right. But it's weird yeah. because it's
un-anniversary.
It's the un-anniversary.
There's your new show.
I know.
Welcome to un-anniversary.
Un-anniversary. Aww. Wow. But that's a very, you know, Twitter is very on cabaret. Twitter's taken.
Right? Yeah.
Twitter really, social media changed comedy. Do you think this? I feel like a lot of things that you used to say on stage, not you, Stephanie.
Yes.
But right. that would make it to stage are just, you put them on Twitter and it's done. You don't really need to bring it on stage,
right.
the whole thing anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've taken care of it. I mean, when I look back at the UNCAB archives, it was very different. I mean, people would name names and meetings and people they were doing business. I mean, all sorts of things. People said the whole thing without right. social media. But also, they would review a movie, which was kind of mm-hmm. boring. Mm-hmm. You know, it was different. Comedy was different. It moves faster now.
Yeah. No, that's true because of Twitter. Like, cause you feel like, oh, that's already been done. That's yeah. already been said now.
People like, would do like 20-minute yeah. sets. Maybe 5 minutes were good. 10 minutes were different. There was another whole thing. I don't know. It was yeah. just different.
You know, we just had Steve Marmel in the other day, and he's fantastic yeah. and brilliant. But he was saying he's like sort of segued from stand-up, but he's like a Twitter star now because it just, you're right, like it moves so fast that then all those jokes are done. I mean, it's like one of your other beloveds, Patton Oswalt.
Yeah. Oh,
I mean,
my God.
I haven't seen it, but I mean, I've heard of the bit that is so true about that, you know, people saying to him, oh, it must be so great for you comedians that Trump's president. And yeah. he's like, no, it's fucking exhausting. And that, like, you know, yeah. he's a guy taking a shit on the sidewalk screaming about Hitler, and you have a great joke and you turn to tell the joke, and they're like, no, no, no. He already made a sombrero out of his shit. Why aren't you doing a joke about the sombrero?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's what it's like. I mean, Vanessa yeah. and every morning we're like, oh, fuck, he's tweeting. Oh, right. fuck, breaking news. This.
Yeah. Well, you have to yeah. really keep up. I yeah. gave myself a pass on totally keeping up because I can't.
Yeah.
So I'm in a weekly cycle.
Yeah.
You're in a daily cycle.
Yeah.
I'm in a weekly cycle. It's a little bit of a different time mechanism.
So now, but tell me, because I don't know, because we haven't talked in a while because of morning radio, my little teeny tiny small life due to morning radio and apparently alcohol. Vanessa,
what's the number for Betty Ford?
He's gonna call. Right. He's dead. Let it go.
Look at him. My laugh goes so big on the.
That's cute.
That's that great Beth Lapidus laugh.
It is. It's a great laugh. But,
so you, because I'm reading in your Wikipedia.
Oh, gosh.
1990,
oh,
you and your husband, Greg, moved yes. to L.A. 1993. Yeah. He created UnCabaret with you. So what? How long you been divorced?
7 years.
Oh, see? It's giving up drinking. It ruins everything, Vanessa. Jesus. Why are you encouraging this?
No, her life is bigger now.
Bigger. I don't know. It was a slow, I don't know when we actually, about 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, something like that.
Yeah.
It was a slow unwinding. Well, I invented it, and then he was available to produce. He was more of a producer than I was.
Right.
So I had that, you know, sort of epiphany at the Women's Building, and I was then started doing it, and then he and his writing partner broke up, and he stepped in as a producer, and, you know, he really did. No, a lot more about producing than I did. I was a self-producing artist.
How long were you married?
Oh, 1,000 years.
1,000. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, Wikipedia doesn't say that.
It's 1,000. We met in New York when we were 20, like one or two. So I can't do the math, but a lifetime. We were married for a lifetime. Now yeah. it's another lifetime.
Yeah. What? So wait, where are you from? Kids? Siblings, parents? Where are you from?
I grew up in New Haven. I was born in New Haven, Connecticut.
Oh, that's very fancy.
Very fancy. Mm-hmm. Not fancy. Not connected to Yale. And I was then, we moved to Providence when I was young. I had a childhood illness. That's a very formative thing. I was in the hospital.
That seems like a happy UnCabaret story.
Yeah, it's funny.
Could I have... Let's hear about that.
Well, when I was 5, I had a blood disease. And
that's fantastic and unusual and so Lifetime movie.
I think that a lot... If you talk,
what's wrong?
Well, it looks like...
I have a blood disease.
The blood's not clotting. It might be leukemia. But it wasn't. It was an autoimmune disease. And it's formative because I felt fine, but I wasn't fine. I was, you know, sick and in the hospital and they kept
How
saying...
How old?
I was 5. And they're like, you know, it's not going to hurt. It's not going to hurt. But it really hurts every day when they're
those motherfucking liars.
So that was the thing. I thought that's the one lie, Stephanie. You just lie about feeling it doesn't hurt. That's the one thing you can lie about.
It doesn't
whether
hurt.
Or not it, whether it hurts.
It doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt, Mr. Trump.
Bullshit.
It doesn't hurt.
It's bullshit. It's all bullshit.
It all hurts. So that, and then New Haven, and went back to New Haven. Providence, went to Brown, majored in modes of expression, art, dance, and writing.
Wow.
I have a brother. I have
so fancy.
Parents who, I'm a very fancy girl. Yeah, I have parents who met in junior high school and are still together.
Holy fuck, how long is that?
That's 1,000 years. That is 1,000 years.
No, but how many exactly, Beth? Come on, I know you didn't.
They're
think
17. They met when they were 15, 16, 17, like that.
Wow.
And they're 80 something now.
Wow.
So that's a lot of years.
Wow.
I mean, it's suspicious that you don't know exactly how old your parents are.
I do know. They're my one's 85, one's 84.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Is that interesting to anyone, really?
All right. I assumed it was the blood disease that made me lose the memory.
I'm a little woozy. I don't need the booze because I had the blood disease.
So wait, what? And your siblings are who and who?
I have one brother. He's a little younger.
All right.
He has two boys, and they're fine young men with interesting career. One's an environmental guy, like corporate environmental, like works at a company and does their green stuff. And one is going to be kinesiologist or something.
Yeah, now, something is not show business.
Yeah, you know what the kids. I know, it's so disappointing.
I'm like that too. I'm like, is it not show? I don't know. In some area of something.
Right. Something.
Okay. Wait, and so what did your parents do? What'd your dad do? What'd your mom do?
My dad was in sales in the clothing industry, and my mom was a mom. And then when we went to school, she joined him in a clothing company that started out as a parochial school uniform company and ended up as a golf uniform company. And then they moved to the Dominican Republic and ran a golf course.
That's fishy. Okay.
Yeah.
Do they know Paul Manafort?
Oh, sure.
That seems,
he came over to dinner
The time. Is there money in offshore accounts?
Oh, sure.
No.
I wish. That would be great. Oh, my God.
Now, wait,
isn't there money in offshore accounts, Mom?
Did you ever want to...
Mom!
Wait, and Jewish? Jewish?
So Jewish. Yeah.
Have I ever asked you, are you related to Maxine Lapidus?
We're not related.
I love her, too.
I love her, and everybody has asked us, so we became friends.
Yeah.
Because everybody asks, and
She's also a fantastic writer.
Met
like
her
Beth.
Parents, and we traced the Lapidus family back to the same little town in Russia. So we call each other cousins.
Oh, okay. Nice. All right. She's fantastic.
She's fantastic.
She, head writer on which shows?
She was on Roseanne.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Yeah. All right. So
That's my family. Just really, you know, very,
very
suburban.
Jewy. Very Jewy.
Very Jewish suburban growing up. Just not a big.
Right.
You know, did you watch the Jerry Seinfeld Netflix thing? I thought it was so...
Comedians in Cars?
No, the one that's out now, his stand-up thing. It's interesting because he tells a story and he's like, it's so boring. Like, it's just so boring. It was so normal. And,
right.
And what's interesting
no angst,
inside
no comedian
that?
Angst.
Yeah, because there's alienation anyway. You know, growing up, I knew I was an artist. I knew from day one, I'm just not this.
Right.
And now it's just going to be a matter of checking the watch and seeing when can I go? Am I dismissed? That was like my childhood. Am I dismissed yet?
Like, you were saying, like Seinfeld, who are these people?
Who are these?
I got to get out of here.
Can I go to camp? Can I go to program somewhere else? What is there? What? Come on. I need some more.
Well, you know, there's always that thing that, comedians, the best, they come from pain and anger and horrible childhoods. And I'm like, no, not me. I feel like I'm funnier when I'm happier. Like, I don't...
You know, that's a message to put out because it's not... Because even though you're happy, there's so much to be... There's pain anyway.
Yeah.
There is pain. Pain, that's the equation. Pain plus time equals comedy. Yeah. Not unhappiness plus time equals comedy. So, you know, the Dalai Lama, I saw him once on Larry King, and you can barely understand what he's saying, but he's like, it's like watching a Teletubby, but he's just like, if you have this, you have pain, pointing to his arm, but I think he meant just the whole body.
He meant his whole.
Yeah, his whole thing, the whole human life.
Has anyone ever said, what the fuck are you talking about, Dalai?
No, nobody ever says that to him, and they should, but that's what he's saying. He's just saying, if you experience life, there's unhappiness because you're human.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah, and that's our job as comedians, to make it funny. And so I guess people say, oh, the show's better than ever now that Trump's... And I'm like, this really isn't funny to me.
It could have been plenty funny with Hillary.
This really is my nervous breakdown.
It could have been plenty funny
with
anybody.
That's what everyone said, like, when, you know, Bush left. Like, oh, what are you going to do now? George Bush is gone. I'm like, now we're on defense. Because they had every fucking horrible racist attack against Barack Obama that you had to defend and make funny.
Yeah. You know what was really interesting? When Uncabaret finally landed at Luna Park, so it had been around here, right, there, and... It really took off after the Clinton election. That's when it really gained momentum, because everybody's acts were done. Nobody could go and anymore do their us and them thing.
Right.
Because now we're them.
Right.
And everybody had to get introspective.
Right.
And everybody had to say, ooh, where am I to blame? Where is it my fault? Where have I fucked up? Where am I a shitty person? Where is it, you know,
right,
when it was, we were the underdogs and it was like, oh, they're the big powerful men and they're horrible.
Right.
That's a limited point of view.
Right.
So.
What, so, now, when you
like,
were.
Yes, I get it. You've made that point.
Did you? I beyond love you. Did you, but so did you want to have kids?
I didn't. I never wanted to have kids.
Me neither. They're horrible.
Yeah. Are you good with
thank
that?
God.
I mean, I do like kids, but I didn't want, you know what, Stephanie, I don't know if you have this. I mean, the lie of you can have it all, I just saw from immediately, that's a lie. That's really not true.
Yeah.
You really can't if you're a woman. If you're a man,
I
you can.
When I was coming up, I thought, like, wow. So the most successful talk show host in daytime was who?
Oprah.
Most successful talk show host in late night was Jay Leno at the time. And David Letterman, right? Yeah. What did they all have in common?
No kids.
Who's the most successful radio host? Rush Limbaugh. No kids.
No kids. True. I love kids. I'll tell you, I always said, this was, if I could have an 18-year-old, I'd like to have a kid. And then a girl called me and said, do you ever have any interns? And I said, well, we haven't, but we could. Now we do. And if you're interested, please do reach out, beth@uncabaret.com. And she came. She did some, you know, there was still Xeroxing. That's how long ago it was. You didn't have your machine at home. And she did a good job. And I said, are you hungry? And she said, I'm always hungry. And she was a USC student. And she was really the closest. She was 17 or 18. And I just went to...
Right.
She started out, she dropped out of USC, she became a Teamster, she did location scouting, she went back to school, she became a doctor, and she's about to go be a doctor at Harvard.
Wow.
And so I have my daughter the doctor. She's the closest thing, you know how people have like a niece or somebody who's...
My baby nephew.
Yeah.
That you just came in. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that.
Yeah.
So I raised him up. We're all parents. I mean, it does take a village.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been in the proximity of child rearing. It's been fun.
I've been in the proximity of it. But they go home, which is so nice.
Yeah.
So that part is not, but the divorce part's got to be painful. You won't tell me how many, but how many years were you actually married? It is not 1,000.
Like in the 20 zone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right.
And do you want it? Do you still believe
in
do
love?
Do you still believe, Beth Lapidus? Do you still?
I do believe in love.
Because welcome to Steph a Date, everybody. Look at her. Look how beautiful and smart and funny she is.
I'm quite in love, and I believe in love, and I'm in it.
Wait, you're in love now?
I am.
With who?
I don't want to talk about that on air.
Oh,
no.
Beth. Oh, my God. You teasy little hoary minx.
That's a good feeling. Good for you.
Good
That's
for
awesome.
You. How long's it been?
Seven years.
Oh. And the plot thickens. Well, good for you.
I do believe in love, but I don't necessarily believe that there's a, you know, marriage is its own path and it's hard to stay. I mean, I think whether or not you're married, I think 20 years, we all change. You know, I do believe people change. I am a great, great believer that people can and do change, whether they want to or, you know, so I think part of a great life path is sort of directing the change in ways that you want and evolving purposefully.
Yeah.
And, you know, we really hit You know, I said, you know, the joke is, you know, I said, I think we, you know, hit a dead end. And he said, I'm thinking of it as a cul-de-sac. And I said, a cul-de-sac is a dead end in French, you know. But, you know, he's, I think, way happier. He's, you know, found a better path. And, you know, it was, you see where the tabloids are helpful, because to go around Hollywood and everybody knows you as a couple and be asked by every single person, like, oh, what about the person? Oh, how did it go? Where are they? Are you okay? Or you're not okay? And it's awful when you're going through it. So you're not okay. And you're telling everybody you're okay. Well, you look okay. Well, I am okay. And, you know, I'm not falling apart. No, I had a big reinvention, and it was a giant, and I wish it on everybody, you know, to go in the middle through in at some point in the middle of your life to walk through a patch that is reinventorial.
I don't know.
What would the verb be? You know, to walk through a reinventing path where you really get to look at everything and you really get to say, yeah, we had bought this house in Palm Springs and it was an adventure, but that's not right either. And to come back to Los Angeles, now loving Los Angeles and purposefully being here.
Right.
I had come here originally with Greg, you know, because he was screenwriting and I was like, what am I doing here? But when I came back to Los Angeles,
right,
I freaking wanted to be here so bad.
I love LA.
I mean, you live in the happies. So, well, you know, what better place?
We have everything.
The happies.
We have hiking. We have the ocean. We have the desert.
We have ideas. Right? We have, you know, an amazingly...
We have an amazing resistance in California.
Yeah.
A fierce, amazing resistance.
I mean, it's a great, great place to... I mean, there's so much... I mean, when I say new thought, you know, spiritual community.
Yes.
There's there's spiritual adventure here, you know, and there's a lot of different kinds of people. And you just have to not get crushed by show business.
You know, Beth, you are... inspiring me once again, because I, you know, I obviously am gay, and I had, you know, my significant long-term relationship a decade, but it ended a decade ago, and that was before I ever thought, like, marriage was a possibility. I never thought that would happen in my lifetime. So I'm a hopeless romantic, and I still believe in it, and I've tried.
But in marriage? See, I'm a little iffy on the marriage part.
I don't know. Well, now I'm watching Friends lately. I'm like, I don't
Do you want to get married?
Yeah, okay. I do. I have parents that were married for 40 years.
Yeah, right. So we're the same in that way.
Yeah, until, you know, and my dad died.
Right.
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
Oh, gosh, 30-something years ago. Oh, 1983.
Okay. Is your mom still here?
Mm-hmm. 94.
Oh, really?
94-year-old.
How's she doing?
Trump voting, Republican, Fox-watching mom.
Oh, boy, that's got to be an interesting visit.
Mm-hmm.
Does she listen to you every day?
No, God, no. Okay. No. She thinks I'm a dental assistant.
Well, in some ways you are. You're helping people keep their mouths healthy.
No, the last conversation was, oh, dear, he's doing a great job. He loves America. I was like, all right, Mom, we'll talk after the impeachment.
Oh, God. Oh, my. Were you crazy happy on Monday? What was your...
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
On indictment Mueller Monday?
Yeah. I mean, it did feel like, you know...
That's the closest I've come to orgasm in quite some time, but thank you for asking.
Didn't it feel like that first day when you have a... You know how you have a flu and you just think, I'm really just never going to get better? Even though it's just a flu and you know you're going to get better, it feels like you won't. And then there's one day where you feel better and you're like, I still feel bad, but I believe that I am going to get better now. And that's how Monday felt. That's how Monday felt
right.
to me.
Yes. That first day. America has a flu.
Yeah.
We have a virus, but we're going to cure the event. This is the first step. This is the first antibiotic.
Yeah.
This is the first day of our Z-Pack.
That's how it felt. That's how it really, 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 really felt.
What, Beth, when's the first time you saw a penis, and what was that like?
Wow.
That's
a left-hand turn in this conversation.
You know, I'm just, you know, you're not drinking, so I'm really trying to steer you into filthy areas that might...
I think I was 15.
Oh.
I think I saw a penis first in a very, very just, you know, teenage sex kind of way. It wasn't anything untoward.
What'd you think of it?
I thought, okay.
All right. I can do this. This is my thing.
Terrifying. I don't know what I thought of it, honestly.
Right?
I was so drunk. Yeah. I think it was just a lot to take in.
Yeah, it is.
It's a lot to, it's just
right?
like, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, how about you?
My college boyfriend had that thing that where his dick turned
left.
Paranoiditis. Yeah. And I think that probably is why I'm turned left wing in college, because I did vote for Reagan. at US when I was at
USC.
But I think the fact that my boyfriend's dick, yeah.
That's absolutely true.
He was a USC football player and his dick. So I was great at blowjobs, as I was explaining before, because, you know, I'm a Catholic girl. I did everything, but it was kind of like, you know, blowing someone like around a corner, because it was really very, yeah, it's not.
Oh my God, that's
on.
Funny. Mm-hmm. That's very, very funny.
Did you ever dabble in the lady leg?
I did. Sure.
Oh, tell Mama about that.
I mean, you can't live. How could you not? I mean, who's not going to dabble with ladies?
Right.
I fell in love with a girl.
Hang on.
Tell me more. It was a summer romance.
Of course it was.
But she didn't. I think she didn't want. Everybody thought we were girlfriends. It was like a summer arts thing at Cornell. Everybody thought we
summer
were
what?
Arts, you know, an artist. High school arts program.
Oh, yeah. I met my first girlfriend at an art park right the summer after college.
Oh, really? Mm. There you go. This was during high school.
Wow.
I was very young.
Little saucy little fucking whore.
But we didn't do anything. I was just in love with her. I was so in love with her, but nothing ever happened.
Really?
Yeah. I was just desperately in love with her. And she seemed to be, we were very just always together. And there was like a romance to it, but it was never physical.
Why didn't you ever, you know?
But then I had,
get it going
in New
on.
York. Yeah, then there were other girls. Then I never had the love
and the
physical part
at
the same time with a woman.
Oh,
I've had both, but not at the same time.
Well, life is young.
Life is Who knows? You know, it can happen.
No, there's true. You're right. There are those two things. Like most women I've been with have been, you know, with men or married to men, but like they're like I. Like sex with men, but I fall in love with women. So it's everything. I think everybody's different on the scale.
I think everybody's so different on the scale is even like so much more complicated than.
Yeah.
I mean, we make it out to be like almost binary, but it's like holographic.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I mean, I'm attracted to men. As Vanessa can tell you.
She is. She's the worst lesbian I've ever.
I'm a lesbian. I'm not good at it, Beth.
Well, maybe
I try.
You're just.
It's not for lack of trying.
But maybe you're just not all. I mean, maybe you're just more in the middle of the meter.
Well, I'm not really sure about that. I feel like my primary relationships have been with women in the last many years, so I don't know if that's authentic.
But you're attracted to men.
Yeah, it's a weird thing, actually.
Okay.
I think I'm just a chicken. Like, I don't think I'd actually follow through on it, Vanessa. I think I'm all talk.
Oh, boy.
But, look, there's so much heteronormative fantasy in the air.
Right.
That it's hard to. I can't. I
mean,
it's sort of
heteronormative,
like
ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think that in some ways, you know, I identify as a man. Like a lot of me feels like a man because I think you grow up as a girl. I think it's better for girls now, but I think growing up watching stories where all the active parts were men,
right?
I was like, well, that's the person to be, is that guy.
Right.
Not her. I don't want to be her.
Right.
She doesn't get to
right.
do anything.
No,
right.
I identify more with my dad because my dad ran for vice president. He was a congressman. And I was like, oh,
that
seems fun. My mom washes pots and pans.
Not that thing.
I want to do that thing.
Yeah.
I want to be somebody.
So I think I have a lot of, I also identify with being a woman, but I think it's super complicated. Like,
yeah.
I just like, you know, people are like, you know, what's your gender? You know, he, she, I'm a he, her.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just, I think of myself as a we.
We. Are you
a we? I just feel multiple. I just feel very we, like
you're,
we.
You're kind of a we with an with ennui, with a general ennui.
But what? Really ennui?
Well, you've talked about depression, but not that you're 100% happy
88%
of the time.
Yeah, I have a little ennui. A wee with ennui.
I'm just spitballing
on the
your
way.
Titles
so
that I can get my way out of this sexual harassment suit you're filing against me for shoving my tongue in your throat and uncapering. Beth Lapidus, how do we follow you? How do we worship you? How do we help you?
Oh, my God. You can follow me everywhere at Beth Lapidus. On Instagram, I'm Beth _Lapidus.
Key.
The at on Cabaret, you have to follow both Beth Lapidus and on Cabaret for
Do it.
The full experience.
Do it now.
On Cabaret is not exactly me, but I'm not me without on Cabaret.
I'm going to show my
tongue
in your mouth
again.
So you will have more at the after party. Yes, but you'll have more evidence
for
your
lawsuit, quote unquote. Love you, Beth Lapidus.
Beth Lapidus.
And also Sundays in Los Angeles.
Yes, for Uncabaret.
Uncabaret.
The legend.
Stephanie, thank you for having me.
The woman, the myth, the legend, Beth Lapidus, everybody. Ha ha.